Welcome to Miracle Nutrition with Hardy White. I'm Hardy White. Join me now, won't you, as I make some fresh bread every morning, and then we eat it up and it's gone, and all that's left is the memory of fresh bread and some crumbs for the mice, for the cartoon mice. Oh, my friends, it's so wonderful to be with you. It is time to make the donuts. You remember that old advertisement? There used to be an advertisement on TV where a fellow would wake up and he would say, "It is time to make the donuts." I think it was an advertisement for spaghetti sauce or something. And then he would go in and he would make those donuts every single day. I used to have a friend who was a baker. And he was a cute little cartoon animal, I believe. I might be confusing it with Busy Busy World. His name was not Abel Baker Charlie, though, because they've updated it and changed his name to Alpha Bravo Charlie. So he was no longer even a baker. He was just the first one to clap at an event. But I digress. He was, in fact, a baker. And my friend was a baker, and he'd get up every morning at, like, I don't know, 2 a.m., 3 a.m., that's when some of us go to bed, but he'd be up already. In fact, he'd be up even 2 days earlier than that to make bread, because people wanted to be able to wake up early, go to the bakery, and have their bread already baked. Now, bread takes a while to bake. I don't know if you know this. It also has to rise, just like we do in the morning, except it uses yeast. I don't know if you use yeast to get you out of bed. A lot of those hospital beds use electronic motors, but I've designed one that actually uses gas and dough. So it's just like bread rising, and every morning you go, "What is happening?" And you just sit up in bed suddenly and you go, "I smell yeast." I don't know if that's coming from my dog's ears or whether the bed or whatever. But the baker would get up every single morning and he would make this fresh bread, and the people of the town came to expect this. We know that our baker will be up early making our bread, and it'll be there and ready for us. And they would go in the morning and they would buy up all the breads. It would be on all different shapes, baguettes or some of the round loaves. He had some loaves that looked like he would design them to look like molecules or something. What's that one? That's a hydrogen atom bread. I'll take that one. Let's have two because it's Shabbos. And then he would, the next day, he'd be out of bread. He'd take what bread was left and give the stale bread to the crouton monger. And then he would go and he would go back to sleep, and he'd do this every single day. And the people loved their fresh bakery. One day he decided, "You know, I've made so much bread. I'm tired. I don't want to make bread anymore. I think I want to take a break. I want to sleep in the morning." And so he closed the bakery, and everybody was very disappointed. And they said, "I hope somebody else opens up a bakery. Thank you very much, Charlie, for your service." And that was it. And he thought, "Well, wait. What happened to all that bread I made? Where is it? It's only memories now. Someone else will come along and they will open a bakery and everyone will forget my terrific bakery." Oh, friends, life is so futile, is it not? Every day you wake up and you have to do the same thing over and over again. Nothing stays done. Every week I have to do a radio show. I don't have to. Nobody is making me. I want to. But why not? But I'll tell you, sometimes it's like digging a hole, and then when it's broadcast, the hole is filled in. So I spend all week digging that hole, and then it just gets filled in again, and I got to dig the same hole over again. It is very much like what happened to Paul Newman in Cool Hand Luke. If Bob Newhart was in Cool Hand Luke, then every time they said, "Hi, Bob," we'd have to eat an egg. But Cool Hand Luke, he was in prison, he had to dig this hole. The warden said, "Dig a hole." He said, "Yes, boss." He said, "Now that the hole's dug, fill it in." "Yes, boss." "Then I want you to dig it again." "Yes, boss." "Then fill it in with hard-boiled eggs." "All right, yes, boss." "Then eat all the eggs until it's empty." "Yes, boss." And then I want you to vomit up the eggs into the hole. All right. And then dig it out again. All right. I'm writing all this down, so just go ahead. Okay, I'm off the top of my head. But I have a vision. So we dug it out again. Now this time, I want you to go around and I want you to, in the walls of the hole, I want you to do stonework. And then tile it. Tile it all with a mosaic. And then we're going to fill it back in with dirt so that when we excavate it again, it's going to be like we found Roman ruins. All right. Yes, boss. And also, I'm going to ask you to do another interesting detail. I want you to make plaster representations of people. Okay, crouching as if they've been covered with hot ash from a volcano. Oh, like the Pompeii bodies. Yes, the Pompeii bodies. That's what I said, Pompeii bodies. You're running it together, though. So like the Pompeii bodies. Yes, put them in the Roman ruins. Fantastic. Dig it out again. Got you. Fill it in. Just keep doing this over and over again. Oh, it's like Sisyphus. What's that? I think it's a disease, I'm not sure, but apparently it keeps coming back all the time. And it's like rolling a stone up a hill. Why would you even do that? To get the stone to the top of the hill. People who are in construction understand this. Imagine that you drive down a road every day and you go, there is the building I helped build when I was 25 years old. It's a beautiful building. It's an insurance company, I think. And look at it. Granted, it looks a little like a prison. Hey, architecture is not our strong suit in this country. We are more practical people, just getting it done. But I helped construct that, and that building is going to last for years. Then when you're in your 50s, you drive by, you notice that they're tearing it down. Why? I don't know. I think they're going to build a shopping center there or something, and that building that you worked on is now gone. You think, I spent all that effort. I remember worrying about it. I'd get up and I'd say, oh, man, I know yesterday I put the wiring into the plumbing pipes so that every time someone turns on the TV now and it's a picture of Niagara Falls, water's going to come pouring out. You go, I know you got that from the Three Stooges. Regardless, I did that on the building and I worried about it, but now it's not even there anymore. This thing that I spent all this time concerned with doesn't even exist. I was speaking to a ghost the other day, and he said, you know, I thought about how many times when I was alive that I worried about, oh, my skin or something like that, or my hair or shaving or everything. I'd shave every day, and my beard would grow back, and I was very concerned with how I'd look. And now, look, the body's gone. I've been floating around here, and my body is rotting in a grave. Is it really? Yes. In fact, I think it's putrefied. Why is that? Because the coffin was airtight. Oh, that's disgusting. Well, it's no more disgusting than it just rotting in the soil. Oh, I understand that. Everything breaks down, doesn't it? Yes. Goes back to where it came from. Yes. Including memories. Oh, memories are like that too. They're not even permanent. Memories, forgetting is like evaporation or decay. Well, you remember something, you have a memory, and then it starts to fade. It starts to break down again into its components so it can go back into the soil of human experience and provide nutrients for other things to grow, to flourish, and then to die. There is a time to be born and another time to be born. Then there's a lot of things in the middle. And then there's various times to die, and I guess you have to schedule that. I don't even know. I wonder if all that's going on in the afterlife. So, oh, yeah, we're making all this schedule. It's Ecclesiastes has messed things up for us because before it was flexible. Now there's a time to be born and everything. Turn, 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 I say. I guess what I'm trying to say is that things are futile, and so how do we deal with that? How do we deal with that? We have to keep doing the same things over and over again. Or, you know, we can't rest on our laurels. What's that mean? Well, people used to get these hats made of leaves when they would do nice things, sort of in Roman times. I know that. How do you know that? Because my colleague was in you dig up architecture? Archaeology? Yes, he was in archaeology, and he dug up this pit full of egg vomit, and he found Roman ruins. Yes, go on. It's complicated, but what he found out is that everything is futile. He did. Oh, yes. And so now we realize that, and we try to live our lives even though we have to keep redoing things. How do we do that, Hardy? I feel some days I don't want to get up and do it all over again. Is anyone even going to remember me? No, perhaps not. How do you do your show every week knowing that once you've done something and you've if you're proud of it, it just fades away? I think about that, actors who have done great movies, and the movie comes out and they're so proud and they go to the opening and they walk on that carpet. There's special red carpeting. Why do they have red carpeting? Because a lot of them have had too much Kool-Aid and they'll get sick, and then you won't see the stain on the red carpeting if it was white or something. That's where you really know you're fancy, if there's a white carpet premiere. Then they trust you that you're not going to have stuff on your shoe or anything. But red carpet is actually a notch down. It's like just the opposite of belts in jiu-jitsu. You say, well, the red's the highest, yeah, and the white's the lowest. Not with carpet. It's different. And you know you've gotten to a higher movie premiere status when the carpet is white. And a lot of times also a workman will come and put something down over it so that not to get it smeared with boot grease. You make that movie and you think, boy, I'm a star. I'm on top of the world. And then the next thing you know, it's 10 years later and your movie's not even available at the video stores because there are no video stores. So maybe it's online or something. I don't know. But I can't rest on my laurel. What are laurels? Oh, they're things you find in egg pits. And there are these hats, like I said, that from Roman times. And you got to wear one if you did something interesting. But if you went to relax on it, it's almost like holly leaves. They're very prickly. I don't know if you've been camping in a Christmas store and you say, I'm going to make a nice bed out of leaves and everything. So you grab some of these wreaths and it's holly and it's very sharp. It's almost like, I don't know if you ever slept on a cactus. I have, because I was an Indian faker, but in the American West. And so instead of beds of nails, we go, I'm just going to lay on a cactus here to demonstrate my spiritual superiority. Yow! I would yell as I launched into the canyon, having been stuck in the butt by something sharp. Then I would fly into a roadrunner and accidentally kill him. Oh, I'm so sorry. And the coyote would get very mad because he said, I've been trying to kill this thing for decades, and you come along and you kill it by accident. Talk about futile. What's the point, even? What's the point? What's the point of your show? What is the point of getting up in the morning? I feel like I don't have any reason, any purpose, Hardy. That's one of the things that haunts me in my life. What else haunts you? I don't know, you know, ghost, spirits, things, some kind of dark, gelatinous material that seeps up through the counter and speaks to me in a very deep, grotesque voice. You're not good enough. Like that. You're not good enough. You have no purpose. Who are you? Oh, it's that stuff. For a long time, I thought that was just that gunk you put. You know when you got a flat on your tire and they give you that little stuff? Yeah. Well, it turns out it's some kind of pure evil. But I thought it was, you know, not tar. What's the stuff I'm thinking about? Rubber? I don't know, man. I'll get back to it. Is there a point? Is there a purpose, Hardy? Where do I find it? Where do I find it? Well, I got to tell you, since you make things up every day, why don't you make that up every day? It won't last anyway. Yes, it's all impermanent. Everything we make breaks down. There is no permanency, so why don't you embrace it? It means you get a clean start. If you mess it up, even if you build a bad building, you know it's going to disappear soon. So yes, there's actually an upside to things disappearing. If the dead never died and decayed, you would have no room to walk this planet. Yes, things flow. If music notes didn't decay, then they would all run together in a cacophony of indistinguishable sounds. But the fact that we have separate notes and separate lives is based on the fact that things are impermanent and they fade away. So why don't we embrace that? Be something different every day. Yeah, but then I won't get anywhere. There's nowhere to get, my friend. Oh, welcome to the stage, friend. It's a big old stage made of nothingness. And we can get upon it, and we can strut and build sets. What kind of sets do you want? I don't know. I want to be a tree. Every time I see one of those children plays, every time they do a parody of a children's play, they've got one of them dressed like an inanimate object, like a tree or something. And they stand there, and they look so cute, don't they? We don't do that anymore. Force people to dress up as shrubs. And I think we should, because only if you have walked in the roots of, I don't know, let's say, a pittosporin, can you understand the temporary nature of things? Temporary nature. All nature is temporary. That's why I love indications that things have faded away. I know I was a friend who's an ancient Egyptian, and he's like, man, you know, I lived so long ago. Everything is just gone. It's faded from the earth. And I said, well, that's not entirely true. What? Well, the pyramids, you're still there. No way. Yes, they are. You guys built those like crazy. Look at this picture. It is still there, but it's not shiny anymore. Oh, was it shiny? Oh, they were very shiny. Now they're not. It looks kind of, to my eye, it's in ruins. Oh, because it looks, to us, it looks like they endure no matter what. Yeah. Also, there's all sorts of stuff on the side. Ads. Oh, okay. Yeah. You know, when stuff's gone, you can't tell what was really on it. Like dinosaurs. Dinosaur skin. We don't know what it looked like. Was it covered with feathers? Was it covered with advertisements like a NASCAR? It could have very well been. We don't know what things were like. Nobody knows anything. Everything is a mystery. Well, that can't be. We know some things. We do and we don't. It depends how high you are and what philosophy class you're in. But you don't. There's some chance that everything has just started 5 seconds ago and that all your memories are false. But who knows? That's just a rumor. You hear that rumor every few years or so. And of course, it's false because everything just started 5 seconds ago. That's impossible. Things are fun to think about. Will you come to any conclusive answers? Yes. And then you'll die and a lot of them will be wrong. It's just the way it is. There's so many dead scientists who were still, we recognize them as geniuses who were kind of wrong, including Newton. He was right about a lot of things, but he was also wrong. And we'll never have the satisfaction of going back and saying, in your face, Newton, you weren't completely right. We say Newtonian gravity now because you were off about some things. All right. I mean, there's still gravity. We still have that. And the thing that happened with the apple, what now? That may or may not be true, right? What? Oh, Newton. He was what a pain in the butt. A lot of people don't know that. Not the nicest guy in the world. I get this from time traveling. I don't rub it in people's face and everything that I time travel. A lot of it is boring, and it really is futile. And the worst is when I get nostalgic about the future, and people don't want to hear it. I go, tell them about some great TV show that's on 50 years from now, and they'll say, I am never going to see it. I don't want to hear it. I know it's delightful for you, but it doesn't affect my life one bit. That hasn't happened yet. And so your nostalgia for the distant future is ridiculous to me, and I have to apologize. But it's like my past, the future, because I've already seen it. So it's all in there already. It's all in there. It's in there. What a spicy donut. It is in there, too. Do I regret all the things that I've absorbed that I don't need that are completely futile now? The fact that I have remembered advertisements for products that don't even exist? I remember phone numbers for businesses that don't even exist anymore? I don't need a television service center. So the fact that I have its phone number memorized is pointless. I don't want to say his phone number because somebody would call it and then, hello, is this the television service center? No. So I don't want to do that to somebody. But I still have that piece of information, and now it's absolutely, completely useless. Or maybe not. You never know the things that you collect, when they'll be useful. Not forever. Maybe sometime in the future. Why bother? Never ask yourself why bother. There's no answer to it. There's no answer. Why eat? You're just going to poop it out. You're just going to be hungry again. We need to change our relationship with time so as not to drive ourselves mad. I think what it is that there is some propaganda out there, that there is some sense of permanency, that there is some future in which things are not futile, that buildings remain, that people endure. I have religious people say to me, sometimes they come to my door and they'd say, don't you long for a time where nobody dies? I go, no, not really, because it, first of all, it'd get awfully crowded. And if not, you'd say, okay, we're just going to save some of you. Who gets to live forever? Who wants to live forever? Well, the Highlander, that's one. But, I mean, you're going to have to pick a few million more. I don't want to be that person. No, I don't know. I've lived in this world and only this world. So I'm used to the transition of things. I'm used to the birth, life, death cycle. And I'm going to understand it. I am going to accept it, that there is a futility, that every day I must get up and repeat the same tasks just to survive, knowing that the end of it all is decay and death. Oh, my goodness. Doesn't bother me. It does bother me, but it doesn't bother me because I understand there's nothing else than that. I'm not going to latch on to some kind of dream of permanency when I know there is none. Every day I get up and I go to the bakery. Now, some days I want it to be like that fairy tale where the cobbler goes to his cobbler shop, and I guess he had been having some personal problems at home or couldn't afford some shoe leather, and elves who lived in the cobbler shop had completed all the tasks the night before while he slept. So when he went in the morning, all the shoes were newly made. This happens to bakers as well. They'll show up in the morning, and all the bread is already baked. Everything is done. All the tasks completed. Who did that? Elves? In this case, cockroaches. The lonely cockroach. They live at bakeries. And you say, oh, they seem like horrible creatures to you. But for every cockroach you see, there are hundreds of elves in the wall. And maybe their true form is the cockroach. You expect them to look like little people. So, oh, I want all the elves are inexplicably male and have some sort of hat on that makes them look like they're from Catalonia. No, that's not what real elves look like. Real elves look like some sort of insect, some sort of beetle, something Kafkaesque. And they lived in, Kafka's walls were infested by elves who constantly made bread and things and threw it at him. And that's why he was so traumatized. Say, oh, I'm going to go on and I'm going to write the trial because I've had, bugs have been throwing sweet rolls at my head all night long. That's what it's like. That's what it's like being a creative person. You know there's things in those walls. You're imagining what they are. You're not intimidated by it. In fact, it makes your brain feel delighted. I'm going to use this futility to my advantage. I'm going to use it to my advantage. That I understand that I'm going to have this piece of paper, this canvas that keeps going blank on me. Just like an etch-a-sketch. I just shake it. Is there a generic etch-a-sketch? There isn't. It's just a brand name and there's only one. Draw erase board. They have things like that where people, but I think it's patented, so I don't think you can have another one like that. But that's life. It's got two little knobs, up and down and sideways, and you coordinate them and you make a beautiful drawing, and then it's gone. It's like a sidewalk chalk mural. It's there for a little while, but then it rains, and then people walk on it, and it's gone again. The very concrete that it is on also disappears. There is no piece of land in this world that is exactly the same as it was years before. Not even a piece of dirt. You can't go up to it and say, this is the same land that my grandfather walked on. It isn't, though. That land's probably a few feet down. You know, this is additional dirt that's gathered there. These are new blades of grass. This is a new version. It looks similar, but it's different. Oh, change can be wonderful. Change can be wonderful because every day you get up, you got to put on clothes, but not the same clothes. Those have deteriorated. Do you ever find a shirt in your drawer and it's beautifully worn through? It's the consistency of tissue paper or silk. And you say, no, this was a hefty concert t-shirt years ago, but now I didn't realize how much time has gone by. And look at it. It's barely here. It's hanging together. It looks like a cobweb. It's so thin. Oh, and the memories it brings back. It doesn't even bring back all the memories anymore. There it goes. Clothes. You live long enough, you see your clothes start to disintegrate right in front of you. It's a beautiful thing. And you look in the mirror and you say, what's happening to my face? My face is disintegrating like a baker's glass display case. What are you talking about? You know, where they pull the bread out. It's not there anymore. That's your face? It's like my face. My nose is like a baguette, isn't it? Oh, there's love poems that begin like that. Your nose is like a baguette. Your ears are like pommiers. What are pommiers? Elephant ears. Okay, wait. My ears are like elephant's ears? Elephants have beautiful ears. I love elephants. Yes, but I don't want elephant ears. No, you don't want to be thought to have elephant ears. But if you had no ears, elephant ears would be fine, wouldn't they? Yes, I suppose. If you had no nose, wouldn't a big loaf of bread there be just as... No, I don't think so. Look, man, I don't know. I think they ought to do that like a... What's it, Archibald Mullago or whatever his name is, the artist who made faces out of vegetables and stuff. I wouldn't mind having that. If something happens to you, so I'm going to get a zucchini as a nose or a courgette. That's the same thing. It is the same thing. It depends where you have the surgery done. If you have a French or a European plastic surgeon chef do it, then you'll have a courgette nose. Just like Mr. Potato Head. Now, he has a human nose. Very strange. Everything gets mixed up like that. We don't know why. No one knows why anything is happening. I don't know why I'm doing this. I'm digging the hole again. How low am I going to get? You know what I hope I don't do? Hit a sewer line. That happens when you're digging sometimes. Sometimes I will do this show and I'm absolutely positive I've hit a sewer line. Let me tell you something about sewer lines. In the past, in the beginning of the century, they used a sort of pressed tar paper to make sewer lines. They would take layers of tar press paper, press them together, and they would make something called Orangeburg sewer pipe. And this was a fine thing, and it was cheap to make. Now what happens is over time, sometimes those layers of paper, tar paper, they bubble, all right? And they can start to block the sewer line. Now you don't want your sewer line blocked because you want every day when you send your waste off into the world, just like it's a child. Say bye-bye, waste. Bye-bye, poopies. I hope that you have a good life out there. You break down and or we use your water to water plants, not to drink or anything, but you send them off into the world, your waste, and you want it to leave. You don't want your children to be caught in a sewer line that has collapsed, and you won't even know it. They'll be trapped underground. Help us, we can't get out of here. We're trapped. There's an orange Berg bubble in the sewer line under your yard, and your little waste children can't get away. And so you have to replace that, and you'll have a plumber come out, somebody very skilled, and he'll come out and he'll go, see, I lost one of these fingers cutting off a pipe. Okay, all right. So that must have been a horrible day. It was horrible. My thought was, why is this pipe bleeding profusely? Turned out it was my hand. So he comes out and he's got a mini excavator and he will dig up that yard and he will help you send things on its way. You must be able to let go of things, my friends. You must be able to let go so you can get new things. You must clean your house out, your closet out, so you can get new clothes. You must let them go away. Understand that things are flowing all the time. They're coming and going. Let them go. Let go. Grab them, hold them, and then it's okay to let go. When I would inherit things from my grandparents, I would get so afraid of losing them. My grandfather gave me a watch Well, he didn't give it to me. He died, and I took it. Is that like being given something? And it was his grandfather's. And I thought, oh, here's the most precious thing. I must guard this with my life. I lost it. It was stolen out of my car when I was moving one time. Somebody stole it. I will never see it again. And I thought, if I lose this, I lose a chain to the past. And I had to really reconcile that. I had to really say to myself, it's okay. This thing was destined to be lost. Everything is eventually lost. Everything eventually is ruined. Nothing is permanent. It's all, you just can't see it, that it's changing. And so if you accept this, it's wonderful because you get to let go of so much that you think you're responsible for. I love having this show and speaking to you every week. I try my best to put together something that is entertaining, that is informative, enlightening even maybe, something that will lift your heart, something that will let you know that another human being understands your suffering, give you something positive to think about. I want to do that every single week, and I understand that if I stop, there will be no great party. I won't be elevated in some status. You'll never have to do a show again. That all my connections with you are contingent on doing this. And once it's gone, the connection's gone. And you may listen to my shows for a while, but they'll eventually disappear too. I have to understand this to be able to let go. I have to understand this to be able to do it in the first place, because otherwise it just seems so pointless. Why would I do this? Why would I put all my energy and all my heart into something that is just going to broadcast once and go away, and maybe nobody will even listen to it or like it or whatever? Oh, because that is the theme of this wonderful universe. That and that alone. Futility and change. Welcome to that neighborhood. And if you embrace that, it's very liberating, because you think, everything I do is impermanent. So that's a bad thing and a discouraging thing, but it's also the most freeing thing in the world. Say, I'm a cloud. Things can pass right through me. This is wonderful. This is wonderful. If something doesn't work, it's going to disappear. Bad guys know this. People who have done horrible things know this too. They can do horrible things. People forget. People don't remember. It's the key to overcoming grief. So how do I get over grief? Oh, just wait. Just wait. There's something really tragic about the antidote to grief. And that's forgetting. So I'm still sad, but it seems so distant now, that loss. I know. And what about the person? Will they be forgotten forever? Depends. Look, there is a certain type of immortality in this life. You know that you break down and other things grow from what was there. Your nutrients endure. So everything endures. It just doesn't endure in the same shape. So all your memories stay too. All the things that you've done have an effect. People might not remember them exactly who you were, but the things you did all had consequences. I know that doesn't seem, that's not enough. It depends on what you want. Not enough if you want to live forever. But if you understand that all the moments are what you're experiencing anyway, that it's just these instants, one instant after another, that's all that's happening. And that's pretty amazing. So if you feel like you don't have a purpose, you're just the same as people who think they do. If you feel like, oh, life is conspiring against me, I got nothing, I feel inferior, you're absolutely the same as someone who feels they're on top of the world. It's all the same. Isn't that wonderful? Now, there's pain and disappointment and all those things. It's not all happiness. It's a struggle. I got to tell you that. That's why I only think about making those moments better for people. How can I do that? Some of it is planning. Yes, you have to plan to build the building that's going to collapse anyway. But that's, what are you doing? You might as well be sitting around planning something. Work right up until you die. Work right on that novel, even if it's not going to be published. Sing your songs. Make your songs regardless. Even if you did get an album made or something, everybody heard it, it's going to disappear eventually. All the people that you think no one will ever forget. Tell me, who was the greatest musician of the 12th century? Who was the greatest musician of the 3rd century? There was one, I'm sure. Yes. But you may never know who it was. Doesn't mean they didn't have an impact. And you might experience their impact all the time. Oh, my friends, I am a rotten leaf, and from my guts was born a tree, and from that tree they made some wood, and from that wood they made a restaurant, chain restaurant, just the countertops, and that was there for a long time, and then they tore it down. What'd they do with the wood? It went to the dump. Then what happened? It's still there. Come back to me in 100 years, and I'll tell you what happened after then. But everything's in transition. Oh, drive with me down this road, my friends. And try to notice things. That's the thing. If you've ever had the same commute day after day, driven down the same road day after day, you start to notice things, and then you start to not notice things because you just assume that they're always going to be there, right? But if you opened your eyes every single day, you would find a change every single day. So that sameness is an illusion too. Oh, let's open our eyes and look around. Maybe our joy is hiding. It's hiding like a little cockroach elf in the wall, waiting to make cupcakes when we turn our heads. That's what it's doing. You are not an Abel Baker. You are an Alpha Bravo. Professional clapper. Professional standing ovation person. And you can't make work one day, so someone else goes in your stead. What's a stead? It's one of those old cars, silly old cars with a rumble seat. It's not really a rumble seat. That's where they put the bodies. Things used to be tough back then. Oh my gosh. Oh, what we do with cars. Now we use them to drive, but before they were just used exclusively for crime, I believe. Where are you going with this? I don't know where we're going. We're just driving. It's a bus trip to nowhere. You don't have to go anywhere, do you? You're going to be somewhere. Planning is just going to, you're just going to feel disappointed. That's when I take off. When I have a destination in mind, I always feel disappointed because I get there and I go, this isn't like I imagined. But if I don't know where I'm going, I have no expectations. I'm always surprised and delighted. It's always nothing like I'd ever imagined. And we like that expression. This is nothing like I ever imagined. No, you don't want it to be. You want it to be. People spend all their time trying to anesthetize themselves into this state where they take some drugs so I can break out of this sameness and just put you in it. Oh, let's fly up to the sun and let our wings singe. Let them burn. Let all the wax burn off of them. Let us crash to the ground together. Go out and beautiful flames of mediocrity. There's nothing wrong with that. Oh, my friends, I'm here to hold your hand. Please hold my hand, Hardy. Thanks. Oh, it's not on your arm anymore. I know, I got to do something with my arm and my hand just gets in the way. Oh, it's creeping me out. But I will do what I can for you, friend. I like to be here to serve you. Whether it's bread or hands, so many people have lent me their hands that I've just put them in the display case, and it's a little creepy to people, but I tell them this. How is it any less creepy than elephant ears? Because they're not real, because they're pastries, and they're also called pommiers, which doesn't mean ear. It doesn't, right, the touche, you're absolutely right. I have really gotten myself into a state now, because all I can think about is eating pastry and bread and things. And I know if I do that, I'll just have to get up tomorrow and work out all over again. Same futility. You see people with muscles and in shape, you say they just have to go to the gym all the time. Why not? Why not? Make that enjoyable. Everything is a routine. There are people that whose health depends on doing the same routine every day or they'll die. You understand that? You might be one, say, Hardy, unless I have my injection every day, I'm going to die. And yet, eventually, I'm going to die. I know. You must have some recognition that these moments are important. Let's try to create a moment together, shall we? Oh, let's try to preserve those moments at least. We can enjoy them where they are. Because we know we can't take them back. People take pictures. People take an awful lot of pictures. We take pictures of everything. People take pictures of their food now and send them to people. Why? Because they can't quite understand that if they were fully present in the moment, they wouldn't need pictures. The pictures are a desire to hang on to things forever. I want to hang on to this forever, so I'm going to put it on the computer too. Oh, irony of ironies. The computer is even less permanent. You're making it basically into electricity and then expecting that to survive forever. Oh, my friends, your pictures are going to be in worse shape than a Pompeii mural. It isn't going to stay around. And that picture isn't the thing anyway. You can't preserve those things. You have to experience them. That food doesn't look appetizing anymore. No picture of food does. It never fully captures the experience. It can't. I'd watch those cooking shows on TV, those cooking competitions that go, this one's the best one. How do I know? I can't taste it. My eyes aren't my mouth. And you know this. You can go to a good restaurant, and a lot of times it's the moment, it's the company, it's the expectations. It's not just the food, all right, that make the experience great. So if you pluck that food out, apart from the company and the time and your state of mind, it won't have the same effect necessarily. It's got to be where it was, and it's got to be impermanent, or it doesn't matter. All those beautiful events, the birth of a child. Oh, I could relive that over and over again. No, you wouldn't. That's a type of hell. No, you wouldn't. Let it happen. Take pictures if you want, but you're not going to get back the same feeling. In fact, they might make you feel worse. They might inspire nostalgia. Oh, nostalgia. That's like wanting to be with a corpse. That's like saying, I'm going to dig up some old friend and be... No, it won't be the same. The thing that you desire has gone. What you need is to do other things, new things that will give you the same feeling. Your friend won't look like them. You say, that's not the same person. That's not Ralph, right? This is Tina or Minnie. I don't know what her name is. Minnie's not Ralph. No, Minnie's not Ralph, but you can have the same feeling. Oh, my friends, let's float down this river together. Let's not worry that the water is different in this spot than it was. Let's just keep floating, you and I. Oh, I think that's what's important. Keep going. Keep opening our eyes, having these experiences together. I know it's tough. I'm with you. We'll tell stories. We'll do things. It won't be exactly like the last time. No two shows that I've done have been exactly alike, but I have gone back and listened to some recently, and there are those that are awfully similar. Especially, there were two post-marathon shows that sounded very, very similar to me. Only because I think I came back from my trips to New Jersey with similar ideas. And I thought, I'm going to do a parody of the FMU marathon. So, you know, there's that. I get different ideas I want to do different weeks. Say, some weeks you just talk to me. Hardy, you sit here like we're having a conversation at a cafe or a fast food joint or maybe the podiatrist's waiting room. How's your feet? They're sore, but I'm working on it. All right. And other weeks, I feel like I'm listening to old radio, not old good radio theater, but old radio theater or children's story record. Yes. Why is that? Well, I get in different moods sometimes. I like variety. Nobody is making me do a certain thing. Nobody is telling me, you ought to do that. That's better than that. And so it allows for some variety, and it allows for some inconsistencies and unevenness. That is a beautiful thing. When you see a painting that is an exact replica of a photograph, it's almost pointless that it's a painting. You look at it and you say, man, that looks exactly like a painting. Sometimes it is a photograph with brushstrokes on it to fool you, and you think, somebody has rendered that exactly right. But you know what's more appealing to me? Something that actually is a painting, something where the lack of proportion, something where the mistakes are sort of obvious. It makes it something wholly other. It accidentally stumbles on a new way of seeing the world. But to do that, you have to be open to mistakes and accidents. There is no such thing as good, better, and best, my friend. You do what's best in the moment, and then the moment will decide whether that's going to be the thing or not. That's how evolution works, for sure. Things don't evolve towards things knowing, oh, it's about to get cold, I better start having babies with hair. It's not how it works. You got a bunch of babies. Some have hair, some don't have hair. If it gets cold out, the hairy ones are going to fend better. If it's hot, then the hairy ones are going to be at a disadvantage. You see? So whether the hairy ones are better or worse is absolutely relative. So if you try to plan exactly for the future, without leaving any kind of variation, without leaving any kind of mistakes, without being in love with mutation, without letting things mutate, without taking chances, without happy accidents, you might not have the thing that you need. You might make the situation worse. Oh, every time they make a movie that's a sequel, it's disappointing. We already had that. Isn't this the vomited up eggs from before? Yeah, well, now it's grossing me out. Can't we have something fresh? It might not be as great as the eggs. I may always be hankering for those old eggs and that feeling it gave me. It may never come back, but how will I know if I don't keep rolling the dice? How will I know? How will I know? In gambling, if I waited to make a bet, and when I play poker, I don't play poker. Every time I'm only going to make a bet if I have three aces. I'm never going to win because I'm going to be waiting for that one circumstance. I remember I won when I had three aces. That's when I'm going to make a bet. How often does that happen? But you could win that poker hand with three twos. Yes. How about two threes? Probably not. But if you don't bet, so you got to go with what you have. You have enough, my friend. Look at you. You're fine. I'm a big loser. Yay. So am I. Who cares? Let's go get a bite to eat. Doesn't matter. I can't get a bite to eat. I'll treat. Look, no problem. Fellow human being, I love you. I might not actually love you. I mean, I might meet you and might not even like you or something. But I'm going to start by thinking we all love one another because that's who I want things to be. And I don't care if they're imperfect. I'll work towards that. It's got to be my attitude. It's the only thing I can change. And it changes too. I'll keep changing. I'm going to keep changing. I'm going to keep going into this world with one hand in my pocket and another in a loaf of bread. Did you ever go to a place where they've hollowed out a loaf of bread and then put soup in it? How long can that stand? If the crust is firm on the outside, for a while it's going to hold that soup. Eventually you could sit there, I guess if you sit there a few hours, the soup is going to seep in and weaken the bread bowl. But if you strike while the iron's hot, then you can actually melt metal in a bread bowl. I don't think you can. I don't know if this is right. I don't know much about metallurgy. I'm going to look it up. Oh, I'll look things up for you. I'll do some research. I'd love to teach you. I got nothing to teach. I'm just going to teach you the thing that I learned in life. One thing, and I'm not even sure that's right. I'm just going to put it out there, and that's I've already taught it. Oh, it's good. It's good that we're moving to the end of the hour since I already told you that everything changes. But some things remain the same, like your desire to feel purpose. So feel a little purpose today. Make one up. Every day, even if you have to lie to yourself, Even if you have to live in your imagination largely, it's fine. I tell myself all the time, you're the greatest radio person ever. And I don't really believe it, but it makes me feel good. You know, it's like when you say to a child, you are the greatest artist. And, you know, it doesn't make them arrogant necessarily. It just makes them keep going, doesn't it? You think we're very stingy with praise a lot of times because we don't want people to get too puffed up. But then what happens is they end up getting so discouraged they don't even do anything. And we don't care. So, big loser. People that do things, a lot of times they do have confidence. There's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with thinking that you're doing something right. There's nothing wrong with confidence. It's not a sin. So if you got to tell yourself, I'm great at this, that's fine. I mean, arrogance is a whole nother level. Most people don't have enough confidence, you know? And even those people that are seemingly overconfident, sometimes we look at them and say, they're secretly insecure. Yes, because you know we all are. So it's okay to tell yourself, I'm all right at this, or this is good enough, or I can do this. Yes, why not? Why not you? Stand up. I'm not the smartest person ever. Sometimes I think around, do I deserve to be on the radio? Well, that's absurd. Probably, you know, what does it even mean? Am I good enough? Who knows? Is there somebody better? Yes. Are they doing it? I don't know. Yes, no, maybe, maybe they're not. I've learned this in music, you know, about a lot of musicians, a lot of people that are very talented, but there's things holding them back because their confidence, they just don't think they're good enough and there's no convincing them. And so they don't fully explore their creativity because they think they're not good at, just do it. You know, it's going to be over soon anyway. Put it out there, fool yourself, do what you can and make that joy happen. Go ahead. If there's songs in you fighting to get out, let them out. Will people appreciate me? Who knows? Doesn't work that way. Doesn't work that way. They may not. Right? I've been on now long enough where I've experienced this, and it's difficult. If you're on the radio or you do any kind of thing, music or anything, you realize there's an arc to people's interests, and you can hear from you, they go, oh my gosh, I'm so into your work. Thank you. It's just very meaningful to me. That's great. And they'll listen for a while, and then they will disappear because they've gone on to something else. That's fine. They don't have to come to your bakery every single day. They got something out of it. That's beautiful. You move on. You might hear from new people all the time. That's how it works. You can't go back and accumulate that. I want to put that praise in some sort of jar. I want to hang it on the wall of a museum. I want to have some room that has every single thing that I have done right in it so that I can bring people there and prove to them that I have worth. You may never be able to prove that you have worth. You may have to go into the world looking like a pauper when you know you're a king. You will carry it only in your heart. Sometimes there is no evidence of your past accomplishments. There doesn't have to be. Treat everyone as if they are wonderful, a king, royalty, a superhuman being. Go ahead. You don't need to see any proof of anything they've done. You may be setting them up for future successes. I hate seeing people beat up on themselves. And I know that you are doing that in your heart, even though you might be outwardly confident. You're inwardly, if you're a human being, you must feel the hot breath of futility breathing down your neck. You must. And I know that that we all have this, but don't have that feeling that it's sinful to believe in yourself, that it's sinful to carry on in the face of futility, that it's sinful to have confidence that your feeble effort is good enough and might be entertaining to someone or might be meaningful to somebody. You never, ever know. And is one person the same as thousands? Say, what if only one person likes my bread? Is it enough to bake bread? Well, tell me how many people would be enough. Tell me. We have the heap paradox. That's the sororities paradox. How many people are enough appreciating you? One? No, I need at least, give me a number. 50. Okay, 50 people appreciate you. 50? How am I going to have a music career with 50 people appreciating me? All right. 1,000. 1,000? Do you know how many albums really pop stars sell? How many is enough? So go and tell You're going to take a little while, but now go and tell those 1,000 people that they don't matter to you. That because there's not a million, that you're going to stop giving them bread because there's simply not enough of them. You wouldn't do that, right? How much love is enough love? How many people is enough people to care about you? 1? 10,000? How many fans are enough fans? How much praise is enough praise? And you'll realize that logically you can't get there. You'll never know. There is no number. So let's just make 1 enough. 1 is enough. Now, if only one person liked my show, would I still be on the radio station? Who knows? But I wouldn't need a radio station. just send my show to one person every week. That would be fine too. Oh, my goodness, friends, your hearts will be lighter if you just open your eyes and see the way the world operates and understand that everything is impermanent. Understand that everything changes from one moment to the next. And understand that you're probably good enough because there is no such thing as good, better, or best. Oh, my friend. Was that controversial? I don't know. But, you know, nobody will remember it in a few months, so it doesn't matter. My friends, you have been listening to Miracle Nutrition with Hardy White. I am Hardy White. I think I am Hardy White. How much longer will I be Hardy White? No one knows. But I am so thankful that you have allowed me to be for this long. I am so grateful for you being with me every week. I was going to do a compilation show at the end of the year, but I'm still thinking about it. But I think at some level it's lame because I grew up with sitcoms that would do this. You know, hey, Mr. Cotter, do you remember last Christmas? Oh, yeah, I do, Horshack. And you go, man, they didn't film nothing this year. That's just stuff from last year. But what do you expect? What do you expect them to do? Keep cranking out new Welcome Back, Cotter Christmas shows? But I like things fresh, you know, so I couldn't do it. I couldn't make a compilation show. I might still, but I it's going to take a lot of convincing, mainly because the archives are so extensive. If you'd like to hear any of the past shows, I've been on this station 5 years now. I think there's 5 years of weekly shows. That's a lot. So I don't know if you're taking a car trip to the moon shortly, but I think you probably have enough shows to listen to. And I'd love to have you listen to it. Would you get sick of me halfway to the moon? Probably yes. Probably yes. At some point you go, I want to kill Lou and Butchie and Hardy. And that would be good. I would be glad that you were halfway to the moon, though, when you thought that, because I don't want to be killed by someone who's tired of my endeavors. Oh, my friends, thank you so much for listening. Hardy White on WFMU East Orange, WMFU Mount Hope, 91.9 in New York City and Rockland County, New York, and online worldwide on WFMU.org. Thank you again so much for joining me, and I will see you again next week.